Sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Independent Filmmaker Society presents a series of cinematic salons with Vancouver International Film Festival artists between October 4th and 15th.
In its 15th year, Meet the Filmmakers is about the realization of ideas and the revelation of process.
These informal and insightful panel discussions with filmmakers attending the festival provide an opportunity for the festival audience to engage in meaningful dialogue with the visionaries of modern cinema.
Meet the Filmmakers is brought to you by Cineworks, the documentary organization of Canada BC Chapter, and the Praxis Center for Screenwriters and Women in Film and Television.
Salons are free. Just bring your love of film and prepare to be inspired. Visit cineworks.ca for up-to-the-minute information.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Tropical land, when it's time for a boy to become a man, and soon he will be trying to get laid. The elders gather round and say, if you want to get lots of play, just learn these words and soon you'll have it made. Lip, licky, licky, lick the labia, limbo, lick her lovely labyrinthian loins. Single mana, wally, icka, clamana, wanna lick ya. Highway up the old wazoo, baby. Lip, licky, licky, learn to like it when you lick it, when it's sticky, lucky, licky some more. You learn to like a lick a lady, lady like you, and you'll likely score.
And when young women come of age, the elders gather round and say, it may sound dumb, but to make men come of age, you've got to do is hold.
Highway up the old wazoo, baby. And they're not done their lessons yet until they've mastered this duet. Everybody knows it feels sublime to sing these songs at the same time. Lick, licky, licky, lick a lady, a limbo, lick her lovely labyrinthine loins. Sing the mono, while you got the mono, wanna lick ya. Power up the old wazoo, baby. Lick, licky, licky, learn to like it when you lick it, when it's sticky, lucky, licky some more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. It's time to get sexy and feel empowered and feel really good, as always. Anyway, that was a little bit of the Wet Spots, which is a little bit of a Vancouver band, which they are awesome, about the labia limbo, which I thought was very appropriate because tonight we are going to be having Nick Karras, who is a photographer, on his book Petals, which I'm very excited about. He's actually going to be in town this Sunday because they have made a documentary of the making of the book, writing of the book and the photography, and it's going to be really exciting. So it's going to be playing for the Vancouver International Film Festival, and that is Sunday. So get ready, get sexy, and I just want to make sure I've got Nick on air. So welcome, Nick. And I am going to hear this one out. Welcome, Nick. Can you hear me?
Well, hello.
Yes, there.
I can.
Thank you so much for calling in, because I know we get you in Rainy Van City, which will be very, very sexy on Sunday morning.
Well, wonderful. Pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you.
What can I tell you?
Well, let's talk about your project, which I think is great. So the book is absolutely beautiful. For those listeners out there who are not familiar, there's 48 subjects in terms of pictures of their vulvas, and they're absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I think it's really neat. And I know I've read a lot when I Googled you and things like that in terms of how you got involved. And according to this, what I read, and you can tell me if this is fact or fiction, you started off taking pictures of one of your lovers at the time.
Yes, I did.
And that's how... And where she couldn't, you wanted to show her what you saw when you looked at her and how beautiful she was.
Yes, definitely. I was a commercial photographer for 35 years.
Wow.
That's what I mainly did. I did black and white fine art photography as my hobby. And I dabbled in erotic photography. So I did a series called Bodyscapes.
Okay.
And I loved the female form, the male form, and the more I got into it, the more I would photograph different parts. And I noticed there's a tendency for a lot of women who did not like their genitals. They were very uncomfortable. They didn't think they were very beautiful. And I think they're the most beautiful part. It's just, they're awesome. And that's why I did that. And this girlfriend, it broke my heart that I thought she was so beautiful down there, and she thought that she was rather ugly, and even told me stories when she was 15 going to the gynecologist and asking to have the lips removed because they were rather large, is what she thought, and she thought it was very ugly. And so that's what kind of inspired me to go and photograph this and show her how beautiful they were.
And it took a while. You're mentioning in your interview that originally you started with color, if I remember correctly, and then eventually found that black and white seemed to work best, which you did, as you mentioned just now, you did it as a hobby.
Yeah, I started with color thinking that would work, but to be quite honest with you, it's such a powerful part of the female anatomy that the color just seemed to overwhelm. And you know, they are genitals, and we are sexually inclined, and when we look at them, all of our sexuality kind of comes up. And I wanted to pull that out a little bit so that we could sit and actually look at the lines and the crevices and the textures and really enjoy it. And I found when I did black and white and then lightly sepia toned it, it looked more like art. You could stop and enjoy it a little bit more.
And you mentioned that, how did it change your relationship once she found that she thought that she saw herself the way you see her, as beautiful, and how did that change? Did that deepen the relationship?
Oh, definitely. And it wasn't so much about the relationship between us as it was the way she felt.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about covering herself, the thing about, you know, being able to prance around the house totally naked and feeling comfortable, and after you make love, being able to lay there in the bed and not quickly cover up or run in and do something. That power, empowerment that she got, she really liked that. You know, and obviously I gain from that also, because now, you know, like I said, there's no question. I don't think there's a man out there that doesn't like to see a sexually empowered woman or be with a woman that is so comfortable with her body. I think we all love a woman who can strut and feel good about that.
I think so too. I think that's why pole dancing and some of the other forms of exercise like cardio striptease are becoming very popular, where women are able to embrace themselves in that way. I think it's beautiful.
Definitely.
And you're mentioning that some of her friends actually she showed it to her friends, and they loved it. And
And you've never had to actually put an ad out or anything like that, or pay somebody to actually pose for this?
No, that surprised me, because she loved a lot of the other bodyscape shots that I did, but when she actually showed her girlfriend this particular shot that I did, and then her girlfriend told her that she had felt the same way and asked, could we do that for her, which really surprised me. So, you know, we had to create a very safe space where she felt comfortable, and we took that picture, and she really loved what we did. Mm. And she belonged to a woman's group where a lot of the women had been sexually abused, and they would come and meet, and she would help them. And she showed that to them, and they talked about, well, maybe this is something that we could all look at, and maybe that would empower us and make us feel better about that. So one by one, they would come by, and it created itself. I mean, it was never my intention to do this, but, you know, you can't say no to something like that. And it was a wonderful journey to be able to do something so simple as to take a picture and show somebody their own beauty. And it just took off like that. And I've done over 120 of them.
Wow.
And we picked 48 of them for the book.
I was just going to ask, how did you decide which pictures to choose for the book? And could the women, when they look through them, could they tell which one was theirs?
Most of the time, the women couldn't tell.
Okay.
Most of their lovers could tell right away.
Really?
Like I said, it was funny for me that I could lay them out on a table. I did that at first. I would lay like 10 or 12. When they would come to pick up the picture, I would mix theirs in with other ones. And most of the women didn't know which one was theirs. Their lover could spot it right away. They knew that. You know, and obviously.
Oh, that makes sense. They probably look at it more, whereas I know Eve Ensler's got a piece in the Vagina Monologues about the older lady who's lying on the mat, and she's looking at herself with the mirror, and it's the first time she actually really gets to see herself. And then she cries because it's so beautiful, and she actually really gets to see what she's all about. And gets in touch with herself.
It's hard for most men to appreciate that, because having our genitalia external like it is, it's hard for us to avoid looking at it. It's just there all the time. It's just the way it's made, the way it functions. It becomes more part of our life. For a lot of women, you don't realize that it's a little bit more of an exploring thing. Plus, there's so much shame based around it, and, you know, between abuse and pain and other things, it's a whole different process.
Mm-hmm.
And I became aware of that when I started taking the pictures, that, you know, it was a different thing. I didn't know what we were going to do, so I just kept shooting and shooting, and whenever somebody asked, we would do it. And like I said, when I got to about 120, that's when we decided, oh my goodness, let's make a book. Let's do something with this. I didn't know how to pick them. The publishers, you know, and the way you lay a book out, they all told me about 48 would be perfect. So I had a friend of mine who's a gynecologist, and he and his wife, he had delivered over 10,000 babies. And so I said, you give me a wide variety. So I let them pick the 48 in the book.
Wow.
That's how we chose them.
And what was the women's reaction? Was it, did you have a party or anything like that when you got it published and had a lot of the women who had posed come out to this?
Yes, they did. And that was a real surprise to me. We did a book publishing party, and, oh my gosh, I think 24 of the women showed up for that.
Oh, wow.
Who were in the San Diego area. And I was surprised how proud they were. It turned into a book signing where they went around and signed each other's pictures.
I can see.
And I've got my copy with almost all 48
all signatures on there.
Women in it. Yes, and that's going to my grave with me. That's in a vault somewhere.
I was going to ask, is that in the documentary?
Pardon?
Is that in the documentary? Do you have
In the documentary, you can see the book signing party with a lot of the women in it.
That's awesome.
And the film was a thought afterwards. We realized that we had stumbled on so much stuff. So a dear friend of mine, Beck, that I've known for a long time, who lives in Victoria, the two of us decided to pick up a camera and make a documentary on this. So the film is very interesting. So if anybody listening wants to come Sunday and watch it, you're going to learn a lot. We interviewed a lot of different sexologists.
Yeah, Eddie Dobson.
Betty Dobson, she's a hoot.
She's hilarious. I saw the film not a while ago, but it was pretty awesome. So just for a smaller screening, because my old co-host, as I was mentioning, Julia Saunders, she brought me to it, and it was really neat. So But it's been.
Did you like the part with the old Indian woman where they do readings on female genitals?
I thought that was really cool. Like, how did you find that woman to be in the film?
They do a series of workshops called Kwadoshka, and it's called Spiritual Sexuality. They're wonderful workshops. A lot of them are done in the Phoenix area, and if you go to our website, I'll give you that later. Check out their website. But it's very powerful work, and it's thousands of years old traditions. And they believe that, just like you read a horoscope, everybody's genitals are very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve a particular purpose. So she goes through the book and reads some of them, and it's fascinating stuff. Some people believe in it, some don't. I think the crux of the whole thing is that they're all beautiful, and there's meaning behind every single different shape and form and whatever. Yeah.
What was one of the really, were there a couple really strong stories that really stuck out for the women that you worked with the women's group, that in terms of their healing that happened, like through getting photographed? Like just any like I'm sure each one of them individually healed, and that was part of the healing process by recognizing how gorgeous they are. But was there
any and just coming to the studio and talking with somebody and creating a safe space, and for a lot of them to the fact that I'm a male and to be able to come into a safe space and to be able to, you know, show your genitals and feel like you're in power, and that you can define the boundaries, that I would not overstep them, and that we could, in a sense, I always try to create the space where we could go back, like when we were children, where it was a safe place where we could play and we could talk and explore, and it wasn't threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, that was very, very difficult, depending, you know, what their upbringing was or their religious beliefs, or had there been some abuse, or for a lot of the women there had been a lot of surgeries and they felt ugly, and to have a man, you know, down there talking, and to have somebody else in the room and just to be addressing this issue, and for a lot of people the first time, and having a frank, loving conversation around it, it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn, like, from the very first time where you photographed your lover to throughout the process of shooting all the different women, just different ways that, well, like, if would you recommend, like, say somebody wants to help their lover through who does do photography, what would you recommend in terms of just ways? You said you created a safe environment. How did you do that in terms of doing that for someone who's dealt with sexual violence?
Oh, boy, how would I think... What would I tell somebody to do in that situation? I think we have to learn how to separate our sexuality and ask ourselves what our sexuality is all about. Because,
okay.
I mean, and especially for men, I think for a lot of men, we you know, I think they've not learned how to control that or define that and realize there's a lot of different elements going on, and to be able to slow down and just enjoy the energy. I think most people, I'm trying to think how I'd want to say that. Just to not make it about sex.
So basically embrace the whole woman, or?
Yes, that, but also to be able to embrace the sexuality and not, as we think of it, as genital sex. You know, we call it PV sex, but sex is so much more than that. Sex is understanding. It's, it's love. It's paying attention and just honoring a person's genitals. To me, in most of the workshops, you know, that we teach and the ones that the Kwadoshka had, I thought it was wonderful that you, before you would make love to a woman or vice versa, you would honor that person and talk to that person and find out what their boundaries are, how they feel about it. And then when you got down to the genital area, you stopped and you asked permission, and you were able to look and you were able to honor it. And it's just a different way of being, rather than, you know, just drinking too much and groping in the back seat of a car.
Which is how most of us lost our virginity, but...
Exactly. Not to say that that isn't fun. I'm just,
no, and it can be very fun, especially when you're older. It's just harder on the kneecaps when your knee's smacking against the seatbelt or something like that. But
Exactly. And it's just a fragile area. And a lot of, I've got to say, a lot of men in just being young and naive can say some pretty mean things. And, you know, they'll, you know, I think a lot of people's feelings get hurt very on if a guy can't maintain an erection, or he feels he has a small penis, or a woman thinks she's ugly down there, or she's worried about how she smells. Mm-hmm. All one person has to do is go, ooh, that's kind of ugly looking, or you don't smell very good. And that stays with you your whole life.
It really does.
And if somebody doesn't come along and sit down and have a conversation with you and go, my God, you're beautiful, or, you know, I love how you smell. Most men, you know, have to be trained to do this, to honor and to respect and to say nice things.
And how do you think we should train men?
How should we train them?
Mm-hmm. Like in terms of, like, should start from childhood? Like, for example, in Sweden right now, in terms of with sex workers, Vancouver, one of the hot topics these days is about whether to decriminalize, legalize, or take an abolition stance in terms of prostitution. And Sweden's taken a abolition stance, which basically means they criminalize the Johns. With the women, they do provide services if they are survival sex workers, so they're doing it because they have to, and are also trying to do education in terms of basically that women are beautiful, and trying to do a lot of violence against women campaigns so it stops, like right from training the kids in elementary school. So that's one of the models that they've been looking at in Vancouver. Uh-huh. So, and in Canada right now, they've been looking in terms of whether to flip the law in regards to prostitution. But I'm just wondering in terms of, does it start early on, like in terms of educating our youth, like in a really healthy way, that that there's a sense of sensuality as well as sexuality?
Well, that's the trick. I think violence is violence, and mm-hmm. I think sex is sex, and we have to be very careful that we don't always bring the two together.
Mm-hmm.
I think to teach people how to respect one another, there should not be violence. There should not be any violence, period. And when a person says no, no means no. And to me, that has to be learned in all aspects of life, taking people's food, stealing from somebody else, or just being a kind person. On the same token, I think sexuality is a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful life force thing. Mm-hmm. And I think to say that it's wrong, you got to be very careful with that. And, personally, do I think prostitution should be legalized? Yes, I think it should be legalized. I think there are a lot of women who are in it for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's a reason. I think there are a lot of women who would like to be in it for the right reasons. I've interviewed so many prostitutes, and I'm amazed how many women would love to be able to do that on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, to make it illegal, I don't know.
Yeah. I was just curious about that, just in regards to that, and just doing the education component at the beginning. So, in terms of...
Exactly. To me, I think we have to really educate a lot more about sexuality, and we have to make an individual sexuality more right than it is. I mean, I think we all realize that masturbation is a wonderful thing, and we all start very, very young, and I think parents can do a lot by not shaming a child and allowing and, you know, letting the child know that sexuality and sexual release is a very important part of life and can be a very wonderful thing. It's done in private. It's done on their terms. I mean, everybody doesn't want to see it in public. But, you know, don't take that away from a child. Leave that to the child, and that child, to me, will grow up as, you know, healthier an adult.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. In one of your interviews that I read, you'd mentioned that Eve Ensler's vagina monologues had an interesting effect on you. Do you want to talk about that?
That she had an interesting effect on me?
Just the fact about the fact that it was a two-hour play about vaginas, basically, and these women sharing their stories. And
oh,
what is your take
I
on
just,
that?
Oh, I love that. I just love the whole thing, and I love the... What's his name in there, John, or what's the guy name in there? I can't remember the guy who just appreciates vaginas so
much.
Oh,
that's Bob.
Bob, yes.
Yes, Bob, who is very bland, and I didn't really like Bob, but... Sorry, I'm very, very badly paraphrasing that one, but it's quite awesome.
Yeah.
But I do remember that part, and just about the fact that he just stared, and he all of a sudden didn't seem ordinary anymore. He seemed like a hungry beast. and it made her feel beautiful. And yeah, and then she started, and that he was a total connoisseur about vaginas. So
exactly, and that one struck me a lot because I'm one of those guys. I'm a Bob. I'm extremely drawn to it. I think it's wonderful. I could, you know, spend the rest of my life down there if I didn't have details and have to make money and work and do all these other things. But it's so much more than just being, you know, most of society would look at it as you're just a pig. You just, you know, it's the whole woman. It is the whole woman. Mm-hmm. I love the feminine energy. I love what it does. It balances me. It makes me peaceful. I think a lot of men, if they spent a little more time, I guess I would say down there. Spent a little
it's okay,
time
I was thinking the
making,
same thing.
Making slow, soft love and lying there. To be quite honest, for a long time when I was younger and I was getting stressed a lot when I would come home, I literally would do that. I'd ask my wife, could I lay my head between your legs? And I would lay my head between her legs, and I would make my heart rate go way down, and I would balance me. I think feminine energy really balances the masculine energy, and I think when a man and a woman come together and they merge, and once again, I'm not making anything wrong with a quickie and getting off in 3 minutes, but it doesn't have the same effect as a beautiful evening where you honor each other and you lay in each other's arms and you breathe and you make love nice and slowly. I think it balances both.
Mm-hmm.
I think it takes that kind of that roughness off of a man and it balances the emotion with a woman and it empowers both of them in their own unique way.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's important. One of the exercises I usually recommend is there's a tantra teacher called Tanya Diamond who works out of Seattle, but she comes to Vancouver sometimes. And one of her exercises that she usually teaches, because I've sat in on a couple of her couples' workshops, and she gets them to sit across from each other to engage in a breath practice where you're matching breath. And then as one gets comfortable, one turns their forearm up, like opens it up, so the palm is up, exposed to the other partner, and then the person sitting opposite to them, as you breathe in sequence, eye gazing, and actually just gently start stroking how they like being stroked. And basically so then that way you're able to educate your partner how you like to be touched, because sometimes people don't know, and sometimes they don't mean to be rough, but they don't understand. And so I think it is one of the things you've mentioned a few times, which I love, is the fact that it really comes down to communication. So whether or not it's somebody engaging in, say, BDSM, like if that's their choice, but again, it has to be cloaked in the fact that you need to start with the communication first, and establish what works, what doesn't, the boundaries, as you're mentioning, and that's so important to do that in all relationships, but especially when the sexuality is there, because it's so important, as you said, to honor it, because it makes it a sacred act.
It really does, and I think to make it a sacred act with someone else, first you have to make it with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think the book and the film, the biggest thing that I want to get across to people is you've got to love yourself first, and you have to know thyself really well. And it amazes me that people go to college and they learn so many things about so much stuff, and they'll spend hours learning how to program all the new electronics they got and all the new gadgets and all this stuff, but they do very little sex research. They do very little education on their own sexuality. Do they take workshops? Do they read books? Do they go to a tantra puja?
Mm-hmm.
Do they educate themselves? What makes them tick? What I found fascinating when I photographed the women was the fact that I didn't know they were going to look so different. I just assumed, you know, you look from a distance at a penis, and you go, yeah, they vary a little bit. There's cut and uncut and this. But they're, you know, they kind of look the same. I was real surprised how different every woman was.
Mm.
And what was fascinating is that when they got comfortable, we took the picture. Afterwards, we would sit and talk, and I would ask them, tell me a little bit more of yourself, how you feel about that. And when we started talking about lovemaking, and I started to know more about them, not only did they look different, they responded different. Every woman, how she reaches her orgasm, what she thinks about, how she likes to be touched and stimulated, how she likes to be penetrated, they're so different. And we assume they're all the same. So I mean, I feel sorry for guys trying to figure this out.
I was just going to say that. That's really hard for a poor male to try and come up with different techniques. I do know
it's impossible. And I'm surprised how many men think that when they make love to a woman, they are going to give her an orgasm. And I almost want to giggle under my breath and go, no, you can't give a woman an orgasm. A woman will decide to give one up to you if you do things right and she feels comfortable in the situation. You can try all you want. You're not going to get one out of somebody who doesn't want to give you one. Same thing for a guy.
It's very true. It's very true, and I may need to quote you on that because that's very, very true on so many different levels.
Exactly, and women, you know, they're going to have to communicate more. Guys have to be willing to ask and let their ego get out of the way and ask in a loving, kind way, and women are going to have to communicate also and make that decision if that's what they want to do.
And perhaps that may be where it needs to start in terms of the communication, and that if they're not comfortable going to a tantric workshop, for example, even though I know in Vancouver we've got a lot of, like, we've got the Art of Loving, for example, we've got libido events that have, both of them have different workshops on all the time, like things like how to give great head, where they actually have a bisexual woman actually teach the guys' class on how to go down on a girl. And off sensuous massage, and maybe starting with something that, you know, if somebody's not comfortable, maybe starting with sensuous massage, where it's more broader areas of the body to start with, and then as they get comfortable in terms of the communication, then reaching, and it's like, okay, this is where I really like, and then that way they can start building on and stuff that's not so sensitive that may not have shame attached to it.
Exactly. And the big part is they're learning how to communicate. Yes. They're learning a language that most people don't even have. They don't even know how to talk. They don't know how to ask for what they want.
Why do you think that is? Like, just in general as a comment on society, why do you think that people don't know how to ask for what they want?
I think just across the board it's a problem.
I agree.
Where we feel like we don't know enough, I think. We feel like there's somebody else is going to take care of us and that things are handled, and we'll just learn this small little part of life. And so we don't ask. We don't ask very many questions, and especially when it comes to the lovemaking. And that's the one area where it doesn't make sense to me, because you know, we're the only ones that matter when it comes to that. We've got to learn how to ask and how to, you know, answer those hard questions. And it's just learning. It's just getting comfortable with it.
It's true. It really is. And sometimes I wonder if we've got almost too many choices now in terms of with the internet, obviously that's brought pornography and everything right smack in. You can watch it in your office if you wanted to, depending on your security system at work. But it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, it's just right there. And sometimes I wonder, are we in a fast food world in terms of sexuality these days?
We're all crying out for intimacy. We all would love to slow down, love to feel things. You know, everybody is texting and emailing and not even talking to anybody. We did an interesting thing when I graduated from the Institute and got my doctorate in human sexuality. I started something called conversation salons, and we call them the sex positive, where people would actually come to a coffee shop, and in the back room we could hold up to 25 people and just talk about sex. And it was amazing to me how many people showed up that they were uncomfortable, but the group grew every week. And just to sit in a room with live people and actually have to talk, it for a lot of people, it was such a rare thing to do. It's like, oh my goodness. But how nice when things got flowing and those little nuances, and to feel the energy and to kind of push each other's buttons and just talking again about it.
I think it's so true, and especially with the internet era these days, I just think, like, I mean, you have things like speed dating, for example, and how to meet people. There's online dating, which I think sometimes it's a means to an end because we are so busy, but it just doesn't get right down to the actual chemistry until you meet someone in person. You can chat all you want on Twitter or on Facebook or on LinkedIn or whatever, but it's, you just don't get the meat of things.
Exactly. most people have lost that mind-body connection. We're going too fast. We're working too hard. We've got too many things to do. We're not tasting things anymore. We're not smelling things anymore. We don't really understand touch that much. It's just slowing down. And, you know, like you said, the tantric workshops are wonderful. Just people doing that, taking a small bath, having a conversation with people, and just slowing down.
Mm-hmm. So how do we educate everybody on terms of to slow down?
Oh.
What do you think the answer is? Like, because I know the world's at breakneck speed, so how do we do that to get people to slow down? Because by, as you said, loving yourself, you're able to embrace your sexuality eventually as you develop the communication skills to say what you want, but it starts with actually loving yourself and accepting. But if we don't slow down enough to actually discover who we are, how are we going to get there?
It's just finding the time. And I don't like to think of myself as a spiritual person because I grew up Greek Orthodox and I ran from Christianity as fast as I could and had a really bad attitude about religion per se. Mm. But I, my late 40s, had to go back and look at it, and especially as I went down this journey with sexuality. It's like, well, something's missing here. How does a person slow down? And we do have to have a relationship in a sense with the great spirit or God or the universe, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And we have to find perfection in ourselves. And to do that, you've got to put yourself somewhere and have an understanding. And to me, I would tell people, you got to learn how to meditate. And meditate doesn't look like, you don't have to get a saffron robe and chant and sit and do stuff. That's not what meditating is.
No, it's not.
Meditating is, it's just being still with yourself.
Yeah.
And listening to your breath. And slowing yourself down, and in that place, and it takes a long time to master that, but eventually in that place, you realize what's important to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be real easy to decide, no, I'm going to find time, because this time is important to me, and I'm going to go for a walk, or it's fall, and the leaves are changing. I miss that smell that I used to remember was so fond of when I was a kid. I used to be able to smell when rain was coming because the ozone changed. My goodness, I don't even pay attention to that anymore because I'm talking on my phone all the time. And just getting back to those little tiny things.
Mm-hmm. I was going to joke that you'd notice it if you lived in Vancouver. It smells a certain smell on the pavement.
Yeah, you guys are probably living in San Diego. We go out every day and go, oh, I wish we could smell some ozone. It never rains, you know?
Yeah, whereas here we smell it. There's a certain smell to the pavement just before it rains, and you can smell it where it's almost a dusty smell. And then when the first droplets of rain hit, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It just got a certain scent.
Jack and I in San Diego have a place called the Love Life Sex Center, and we do a lot of sex education, and a lot of couples will come in or singles who are stuck. And what we've realized is that we're actually more, I don't know if you want to call it spiritual teachers in a sense, to slow people down. So now we're teaching a lot more tantra.
Oh.
And we don't call it the regular tantra with the robes and all the smells and all the stuff, but we call it sexological or an urban tantra, where it's mainly just getting people back into their bodies.
Mm.
And actually, this Sunday night, we're teaching one at the Art of Loving.
Are you really? Great.
We
on Thanksgiving.
A workshop. I know. It's appropriate.
Well, it is. It's very appropriate because, I mean, if you can't be thankful and grateful, like, within your own skin, how are you going to be thankful and grateful with somebody else in your life? And I think it's really, really important to do that.
Yeah.
It's key.
And I think going back to what the book is about and me being a sexologist, I think sex is so important. And I think it's just a very important part of life. It's our life force energy. I mean, it's really, if you really took us down to the animal state or just the body state, it is the purpose you're here. It is the main purpose you're here.
Yes.
You know, to do that. So to deny it all the way, and I'm not saying let it run your life totally, but it is the core of who you are, and it's how we relate to one another. It's, you know, it's what gets us up. It's what keeps us moving. It plays a very important part. So we're going to have to come to terms with who we are sexually and how to relate to others sexually. Give it more time. Give it more energy. Study it. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
No, it's an amazing thing. And I was actually going to say perhaps the meditation, actually getting in touch with the breathing, all the tantric work. I know Dr. Ian Kerner, in his book, The Sex Detox, he actually advocates having a breath practice to get yourself in your body first, and doing a lot. There's a lot of journal writing, which he has people do work a little, like exercises and things like that during your detox from it, basically to learn how to honor. And perhaps that might be a way where it won't be technicolor when a man looks at a vulva.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Definitely, definitely. No, I definitely noticed that, like I said, as more and more women would come to the studio. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people, it was difficult to come, but I had a number of women who showed up who had heard about the project and loved themselves. They were very proud of their vulvas, and they wanted to be in this project. I mean, and they would walk into the studio, and they just had attitude, which was really nice, and they were happy. And we would interview them and ask them about, how are your finances? How's your love life? What's your relationship with your children? How do you get along at work? I think there's a real strong correlation between a woman who loves her vulva, loves her sexuality, knows how to talk about it, knows how to take care of herself, has a good mind-body connection. All the other aspects of life kind of seem to fall into place. To me, it's a great starting point. To me, if you're going to take relationship courses and you're going to go to college and get a good degree so you make money and you're going to get your finances in order and stuff, one of the other things you need to get in order is your sexuality and loving your body. I think it's a vital part of the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And especially for women, loving your genitals and loving how they look and loving how they smell and enjoying them and learning them. I'm surprised how many women cannot tell when their cycle is coming by the smell or the taste of themselves. And most relationships, most couples, I'll ask men, could you tell when your wife's period coming? And they'll look at me, what are you talking about? And I go, oh, come on. I said, I can hit it within a day, okay? Pay attention. You can't.
Not all men go down on their girls as much as it sounds like you do, which just sounds awesome. So, and I wish more men did. So, but in general, it's yeah.
I think people can now. Yeah, maybe I'm overstepping my bounds thinking that people can be taught that. I know everybody's different and everybody gives different meaning to it. And I know some people's sexuality. For a lot of people, sexuality, the importance falls in different places. It's not that big of a thing. I think given permission and given education, a lot of people would be more genuine and more sexual if they could. And I think men can be taught that, just as women can be taught that. I think, you know, you just got to allow them.
I think it comes right back down to the communication. When it comes right down to it, communication with self as well as communication with potential partner. And really getting in the body, which I think is fantastic that you're doing all the tantric work, even though I know you don't call it tantric, but just really getting in the body, really focused. If somebody came to the workshop on Sunday night, what would, just give me a cap of it, of what kind of stuff that you might be doing?
It's just a 2-hour workshop, so this is going to be mainly about getting back into your body. It's going to be about breath work. We're going to teach people how to breathe and pay attention to breath work. It's going to be about the senses. We're going to run you through some different scent things where you'll be blindfolded and you'll have to figure out what the scents are. We're going to do a little bit of a food thing where you'll be trying some different foods and you'll be feeling them and paying attention to that.
That's so 9.5 weeks.
Pardon?
It's so 9.5 weeks, like that scene with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger where he's got a blindfolded. Grew up to that stuff. And it's very hot. So, yes. Listeners, you can hear the shortness of my breath going, yeah, that sounds pretty hot.
There was some good stuff in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I usually recommend that.
So many of the people come to us and there's so much porn out there now, and people watch a lot of porn. And I'm not against porn. I think as entertainment, it can be wonderful. It can be something, you know, to, and you can get ideas from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is most people are viewing it as education because it's the only education we got. And
yes.
I'm surprised how bad most of it is. And mm-hmm. most of it, to me, is not sensual at all. And it's not erotic. It's just genital-based, and it's just pounding and stuff. And it's not very slow. Say, Aka and I have run through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them to see ones. Can we find a good scene? A good food scene, a good slow scene, scenes where women actually have real orgasms, not fake them.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find out there.
I was just going to ask, have you found any, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, we're thinking of putting up a little list of our favorite scenes and list them that way. You know, I can see why they don't do it, because for most men, and men buy most of that, actually slowing down and making love, they would find it too boring. I mean, they're watching porn to get off, and usually they got 10 minutes, and they need to go right to the genital scene, so they're not going to watch this stuff. But there's a lot of good sex education stuff out there. 2 years ago, I did the photography, and Sayaka was one of the models in a DVD and a book called Femme Femme Erotic Massage, and it's women massaging women, and they did it that because they figured more men would buy it and more
yes.
women would buy it just to watch it too. And it's wonderful stuff. It's very slow, and it teaches a lot of technique and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff out there.
No, there really is. It's just a matter of sifting through it, because I think sometimes, and especially with the internet, just there's, it's great because you can find some things, but at the same time, it kind of comes all at you. Just out of curiosity, why did you call the book Petals?
Oh, it was very hard to find a name that people were comfortable with. I mean, I love saying pussy. You can, but you really can't say pussy on the air. For a lot
you
of
can
people,
for
they
my
found
show.
That. You can on your show, thank goodness. But for a lot of women, that seemed derogatory. It maybe had a negative to it. So, and then you would say vagina, and then a lot of the younger women would look at me and go, it's not a vagina. That's, I take the vagina to the doctor. I'm not at the doctor, so it's not that. And I kept saying, okay, what do you want to call it? I would call this female genitalia, and they'd go, oh, Nick. You know, so I got all these, so I kept asking. Every time a woman would come in, I'd say, what? And I was surprised nobody seemed to have a good word for it. And finally, one woman came in and she said, my flowers. And I had done like 20 of them at the time, and I laid them on the floor, and we looked down, and I go, my God, they look like flowers. You're right. They look like the petals of flowers. And we just started calling them petals. And when I would be talking and we would be doing the photo shoot, I'd say, I'm going to photograph your petals. You have beautiful petals. You look more like a lily. You look more like a, you know, a rose. And it seemed like an easy term.
Mm-hmm.
Women just seemed to grasp right onto it. Oh, petals, that's a new one. I can call it that.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah.
It restores dignity in an area that
yeah.
sometimes has, you know, where people feel shame. And it's right by the first and second chakra, so that makes sense. Because it's where we,
mm-hmm.
well, it's flight or fight syndrome all the time. But especially, as you're mentioning, with all the pain, the violence sometimes, sexuality, like where it's not knowing what we want, so we just accept because we haven't
exactly.
learned what we learned yet.
Well, and it's true, and I'm a person who's, I have an attitude about corporations.
Okay.
I think,
elaborate,
I think when
please.
When you allow the world to be about money,
mm-hmm.
it gets a bit jaded. You know, I'm an American, and I'll tell you, I don't go for everything being free to corporations and the corporations will take care of things. I struggle with that a little bit because when you make it about money, they're always looking for the dollar and how to get the consumer to buy something. And you get a consumer to buy something by making them feel like they need it,
mm-hmm.
they want it, and they feel bad if they don't have it. And to me, the corporations and all the advertising, especially for women, have women feeling very inadequate about themselves right out the door. You've got to have these kind of lips, these kind of breasts, you have to wear this clothes, you have to dye your hair, you have to cut it this way. They're so programmed that I don't think anybody knows who they are or what they really want anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to fight and try to paddle upstream and change that. But what I found with the Petals book and what I found with the pictures of the genitals, I kind of found an untapped area that the corporations haven't come in yet and told women what is normal and what is beautiful. And it's like, I found a place that I can make everybody beautiful, no matter what they look like. If they look at these, women are going to go through this book and they're going to go, they're either going to go, oh, they're all ugly, or they're going to go, I don't know what to think. They're all beautiful. Well, how can every woman be beautiful? Because obviously there's a perfect breast size, and oh my God, there's a perfect face, and there's a perfect this. I mean, we rate everything from 1 to 10. How do we rate a pussy?
Well, there are some women who are, because of the amount of pornography and everything out there, which is why I'm so glad your book is there, because it's beautiful. And it's good to see 48 beautiful vulvas. I think it's really important, and especially where Julia and I did a show when we were doing Juicebox Radio together, where there was a lot of plastic surgery now on the lips, trying to make them smaller. Sometimes they don't like the shapes of so many different pieces in it, and, you know, or getting tightened after childbirth. Actually, Eve Ensler's second book, The Good Body, there's actually a monologue in there about a woman for her husband's, I can't remember if it's his birthday or the anniversary, where she gets tightened, and after that, he's delighted and can't wait to have sex with her, but the reason she does it is because she wants him to find her attractive, but she ends up losing her sense of self, is the sense I got from reading the monologue. Because all of a sudden it was after her petals, basically. I want to use the word pussy, which I'll use the word pussy, because it's just where she just felt like a piece of meat.
It's incredible what people do, and if the book and the film can stop that in any way, so that people, just to be cutting around down there and taking the lips off. You know, there's a little clip. We interviewed a labiaplasty surgeon in the film. And I guess I can say this on air. I was really surprised when we asked him. We said, do you have a lot of women come in? Yes, they do. Do you send them to counseling before? And he goes, no, if they want them cut off, I cut them off. Where did you get your practice? Is there a school, a medical school, where they teach you how to do labiaplasty? He goes, no, there is no such thing. We just all learn it on our own. What about the sensation and the feeling in the lips? He goes, there's hardly anything in the lips. He says, we just be careful that we don't get the clit.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, please, you're going to tell me there's no feeling in the lips?
It's actually, it can be very sensitive.
Yeah. Yes. I concur on that.
So I'm so glad you've been on the show. I know we were originally going to do the half an hour, and I just realized it was 55 minutes. It's wonderful. And so I just wanted to say you're going to be in Vancouver on Sunday, both for the workshop, which is going to be at The Art of Loving, which I believe it's theartofloving.com in terms of getting the information on that. And for the film, it's at 10:45, you're mentioning, in the morning for a part of the Vancouver International Film Fest. And you're going to be
one
there.
One other quick thing I want to mention.
Please.
Is the film and the book are taking off very well. I've gotten a lot of calls from medical schools. Actually, Duke University School of Nursing wants me to do a color version.
Oh.
And so, Sayak and I have started our color version. And we're up to 35 women. And when I'm up in Vancouver, if anybody wants to volunteer for this, I would love. Please give me a call. We're going to be 3 days downtown, and I would love to do that.
That sounds really fascinating.
I love it. Her voice. That sounds really fascinating.
No, I mean that in a sincere way. So I think that's great.
But no, it was a pleasure being on your show. I hope to see some more people on Sunday come out to the show. I'd love to, you know, say hi to you and answer any questions you've got.
I think it'd be great. Listeners out there, I hope you're coming out to the show. I'm going to be there myself, and I think it's going to be really exciting. And is there a website that, in terms of has...